your turn to be afraid.
Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright. Thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Nerds from the Crypt. It's been a while since I've been able to say that, and I'm glad that we're actually able to wake up this morning and do an episode. With me, as always, is my co-host Greg.
Hello. Are we really here? Is this happening? Is this a fever dream?
Yeah, it's been, well, technically, it's been more than a year since you and I've been together.
I know.
You did the last episode on your own.
It was weird. Awkward.
And today we have a guest that's going to be talking about one of his Kickstarter campaigns. With us today is Miguel Martinez. How are you doing today, sir?
Hi, doing pretty good. I need to say I love that intro.
That so is cool. From our good friend, Jake Lionheart.
It's so cool. It's so fun.
We've actually had a lot of compliments on it.
Yeah, don't change it. Just leave it just the way it is.
Go to a heavy metal version.
No.
So yeah, let's talk about you, Miguel.
Yeah, well, my background is mostly in like distribution and like that sort of side of movies and stuff, because that's what I worked on for like 6 years. I moved to California from Texas. And so that's been pretty cool. San Antonio.
Hey, so I'm in Valverde.
Hey. But yeah, it's been really cool. And so that's sort of, it's like that and writing is usually how I kind of got into like the industry and stuff. And then I'm just a big horror person, and so I can't really get away from that. So that's usually what I write, and that's usually what I look for, and that's usually when I go on like meetings, that's usually what the meetings are about. It's like horror and stuff, so that's pretty fun.
So how long have you actually been wanting to do this particular project?
So La Chusa is about, well, it's a horror movie that's about the Latin American folklore creature, and that particular project essentially like 3 years, I think, because I remember, oh no, it's been longer. It's been a little longer. Because I had the original idea, and it started out as basically like an updated version of The Craft, which was just about witches. And yeah. So I started like that, and then I'm like, oh, like, what if that, but it was like brujería, like the stuff that I grew up with. And then I started looking for all these books, and there's books about how like brujería is just like indigenous superstition that like injected itself into like Christianity to survive, and it like because it like it survived colonization by injecting itself into like this religion. And like the thing that the Latinos do with the egg and stuff, that's brujería.
Yeah,
like this different things are just sort of like snuck into the culture.
What I didn't know, because the whole thing with the egg, I've usually seen it with you know, when you have ojo.
Yeah.
I didn't know that ojo actually was something that they did back in Israel and Arab countries and all that.
Yeah. And like they deal with it differently too, because it's like, it's more of a, like for them, they don't like get rid of it. It's more of like a reflection or something, from what I understand, from like what I've been, because I read a lot of stuff about this. I have a few like different books from different people from like different parts of the world. So it's been really fun to like do some research. But it was in that process that I realized, oh, like we need the villain that I assumed was going to be in it from like the point where the film was about the craft, where it was about witchcraft and not brujería. It needs to be Latin American folklore. So I look up all of that stuff, and then I realized that, oh yeah, there's this thing called the La Chusa, and my dad has a bunch of stories about this. And because he used to live in a ranch in Mexico, and he has all these stories about like seeing like an owl and an owl woman, and then like his dad has stories about it. And I've been hearing about this thing my entire life. And I'm like, I'm actually kind of scared of it. Like, I remember looking up photos to send people for reference and being like, oh, I can't send someone that. That looks real. Nope, that's real. I can't. No, I'm not downloading that on my computer. So some photos were attached and some were linked.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with the same stories. I actually come from a little bit further south in San Antonio, in the what's called the Rio Grande Valley. And I don't even remember how old I was. My uncle, who's only, I don't even know how much older he is. He's only a couple of years, like six years older than me. And which is very common in Mexican American households. And he was in school, and he brought home this, I guess, book of folklore ghost stories that his class was making for high school. And part of those stories was the Lechuza story. And so I've actually grown with that even before I probably wasn't even supposed to be hearing these stories. actually, my family is from, well, like my mom's side of the family is from Mexico in the state of Querétaro. And one time we were over there, one of my cousins actually broke his leg. Over there, you'd have to go from place to place and on a horse or walking from little ranch to ranch. So he said he was riding one night, and all of a sudden he heard the cry of a lechuza, and it spooked his horse, and he took off and it dropped him and he fell off the horse and broke his leg. And what he was always telling me is that if you ever hear the cry of the lechuza, is that something bad's going to happen to you that night.
That's nuts. Yeah. Yeah.
Some scary stuff.
That's some scary stuff. And like, it's scary when you like see the person tell it, because you know when someone's lying to you, like kind of instinctively about something like that. And like, yeah, like my dad would be like talking about when he was like five or something, and he'd like walk outside, and then he'd like see the outline of like an owl, except when he would try to get closer, he would see that it had like wrinkles on his face. Oof. Like a woman. And then like his dad would run out and like shoot it with a shotgun, and it would fly away.
And usually, like, it's huge.
And actually, I haven't told him that I'm doing this, and I don't think he'd like it.
So you're bringing it back.
So he's gonna find out eventually, but I'm hoping he finds out when I get it made, and he watches it, and he's like, he's like, why did you do this? And I'm like, I'm sorry.
This is how horror movies start. Someone dabbles in something that they shouldn't and opens up a thing that they shouldn't, and they can't put it back in the box again. Dude, I think you're doing something. Now I'm going to back this. I want to see what happens.
So that's how the person who did the, I don't know if you guys seen the Kickstarter, but we have a mask, mm-hmm. like a lechuza mask. And yeah, it's perfect. It is absolutely perfect. And I found it. If you look up lechuza on Google, there's an image that consistently pops up. Mm-hmm. And instead of like just accepting that image, I didn't want to use it because it wasn't mine. I was like, somebody made this. So I went to like DeviantArt, and then DeviantArt linked to something else. I like went down a rabbit hole, and I finally found this artist. But it was like in 2008 or 2010 or something, and he was in college, and he made this mask for like one of his like final assignments in college. He took a picture of it. Someone stole that picture and like has been and used it somewhere, and someone stole that picture and used it somewhere, and suddenly that's the image that is like a lechuza image that is always messed around and put on like articles about like folklore and stuff. So I like tracked down that guy, because I was like, oh, that's when I was in college. So I tracked down that guy, and I was like, okay, he's probably like this year's old. I don't know where he's working. It turns out he's the makeup artist on Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to take a chance. So I contacted him, and I'm like, hey, I love your mask from college like 13 years ago. And I was like, I'm making this short. Do you still have this, or can you make another one? And he was like so excited by the short that he kind of said what you said, like, I like that no one's ever really put this to film much because I think people are scared about it. Mm-hmm. And so like, I would love to do this. So I basically just paid him for the materials, and he's going to make one for me. And nice. As soon as that, like, I talked to some other people about this, and like, they're like, yeah, dude, like people would charge so much money. People charge so much money for stuff like this. It seems like you just paid him for the materials.
That's wild. I mean, some people actually will be willing to help, especially someone who's getting started.
Yeah.
They'll be willing to help.
It's like if they get excited about it, and mm-hmm. they like you, and if they like the thing. And he was like, how the fuck did you find me?
Like, well, who's the person?
His name is Zapata. Yeah, Eric Zapata.
Oh, nice. Cool. So that's I'm sure you brought it up right now. I'll make sure to put that picture in the
it's really cool,
in the link for this episode.
Yeah, it's a really cool picture. Creepy. It's his original design. So that's the wording that we have to use because he didn't make it for us. He's made it like 10 years ago. But I was like, no, I have to have this. This is the movie. Because before this, it was like the Lechuza was more obscure because I knew that we couldn't afford something that looked not like that good.
Mm-hmm.
So once we found it, I was like, oh, I have to storyboard this.
So let's talk about your inspiration. Or we talk about inspiration, but I mean like other inspirations, other movies or books or...
Sure. So when I was younger, my parents didn't really like block off anything for me to watch. They weren't really like hands-on with that. They just kind of let me watch stuff. The one thing that my parents didn't let me watch was Nightmare on Elm Street. Because my mom saw like an episode of Bremen and Bachter or something about like the devil and Freddy Krueger. So she never let me watch Nightmare on Elm Street. And I had friends that loved it. And one day like at recess or something, like under the guise of like a slide or something, one of my friends brought a CD of the soundtrack to Nightmare on Elm Street and he gave it to me. And so I went home on my little CD player and I listened to the soundtrack and I like imagined what the movie was going to be. Uh-huh. And like, if you like think about the soundtrack to Nightmare on Elm Street, it's like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
And so like that's like the thing that I think that's like the first time that I was like so obsessed with a horror movie that I was like, I need to see this. And I finally watched it and like, I love Nightmare on Elm Street. It's one of my favorite things. But I think what I imagined as a kid was so much worse
mm-hmm.
than what the movie turned out to be. But I think that's like the first time that I got really obsessed with like a horror movie and I hadn't even seen it.
You're just building it up and putting it into your brain. Just like, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah. And, I met Heather Langenkamp and I should have told her that story, but it was so, so quick, I guess. And so, but, eventually I will tell her that story.
All right. So any other movies that you would say would go ahead and inform this? You said you talked about Nightmare on Elm Street a little, The Craft.
The Craft. Well, I've said that the movie is a Hereditary meets The Evil Dead.
Oh, and, nice. Yeah.
Just because I think The Evil Dead is probably the most important indie movie ever. Like I think The Evil Dead changed movies more than like something like Pulp Fiction changed movies in the way of like what can you do with what you have,
mm-hmm.
and like how direction trumps everything. It trumps budget. It kind of trumps acting. Like it trumps. If you have that direction, like Sam Raimi did in that movie, you can make something that endures.
And The Evil Dead could have easily just been the silly thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you really look at it, there's a lot of silly things that happened in that movie, but I think the way it was filmed, that's what makes it the great film that it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's perfect. I like The Evil Dead 2 a little more, but still. The Evil Dead is like a thing, as like a part of the culture, mm-hmm. and Hereditary. I like Hereditary because I don't watch it that much, but I remember watching it and being like, like horror movies can be dramas, and that's okay. And I like you can do this and still be a horror movie and still be like do a family drama. And I love family dramas, and I love like dysfunctional families. I love like found families, I really dug that. And so I wanted to just do the family drama and do the dysfunctional family and then merge it with like the craziness of Evil Dead and like mm-hmm. the freneticness of Evil Dead. And that's sort of what the movie is about. I have the feature written already. And so that's what I focused on, the feature. And then with the short, I just needed to condense all that into like 10 minutes.
I think Hereditary is one of those movies that I continue to see people say that they don't like it, but I just don't get it. because it's a slow burn movie, mm-hmm. but it's a lot more than the horror part. It's more about the dynamic of the family and what's going on with the family, right?
Yeah,
I still don't get why people don't like it.
It's a deprived.
I kind of get it, but I don't get it.
It's like it's a thing that like if people don't like it, it's because they like a certain kind of horror, and like the cool thing about horror is that it could be a ton of different things,
right?
To a ton of different people,
mm-hmm.
and like if you go to conventions, because I've kind of recently just started going to more horror conventions, probably because the pandemic is like lessening, but I've recently like gone and seen like, oh, like there's like these people here, and then there's like these new people, and then there's like other like kinds of, it's different kinds of horror, different kinds of like performances, different kinds of actors, and there's actors that really revel in like the craziness of like the horror genre, and there's actors that feel kind of uncomfortable there, but they still go, and they're still like the, I don't want to say that they're like actually actors, but there's actors that like feel maybe like this isn't the space for them, and then the mm-hmm. horror community just sort of welcomes them more.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start feeling more comfortable, and they go to more of these. And
I could see that.
I haven't had a chance to go to many horror cons. I'm hoping that once I finally finish up my master's, that I'll be able to have time to do it. Especially here in San Antonio, there is actually quite a bit of free horror cons that they do.
You've been seeing this for 93 years, dude.
They have the zombie walk.
Yeah. Well, every Halloween, and actually they have the halfway Halloween con.
Oh yeah.
And it's absolutely free. And they'll have people there, like they'll have authors, they'll have, I think his name was Tim Miller. I was able to talk to one of the guys that came out in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He was like the guy that finally saved Sally at the very end.
Okay. Yeah, man. And it's something that's like fun. Its own energy. Like it's not a comic convention. It has its own like little culture that's really fun. And like once you go, you understand that like, oh, some of these people just follow conventions. Like not just like the people that are there to like sign and meet people, not the actors. I mean like the booths. They just like follow along. And it's like the same people, and then like you see something, you're like, "Wow, I really want to buy that." And the next time you see it again, and you're gonna be like, "Oh, well, now I have to have it. It followed me."
So let's talk about the campaign.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. So the campaign is already live as of a couple of days, right?
Yes.
And how long is this gonna run through?
We have like 40 days left on it, so it should run
the end of March, right?
Yeah, end of March.
Like I said, I'll put the description so people can go ahead. I'll put the link in the description so people can go out there and back this project. Or, you know, even if you can't back it for whatever reason, that's fine. But if you like the concept that's going on, share it. I think that's the best thing you can do. If you're not able to financially back, share it. Maybe one of your friends might be able to do so. Or
yeah, and it's like a big part of this is like getting up in the Kickstarter algorithm. So when people search like horror films or short films or something, that they find it. And so a part of that is like Kickstarter takes a lot of things into like consideration, but the main thing it does is number of backers, not amount of money. So if a lot of people like it, it's going to push it higher. And so like, sometimes I tell people who are like, oh, I don't have much money. I'm like, if you have a dollar, that probably would help us so much. Because it would up the backers, and it would get more attention from Kickstarter to put it higher up on the list.
Oh, definitely.
So that's always fun. But yeah, so I'm looking at it to just like see what people would see when they come in. We put together a rip reel, so that's what you see when you click it, and so that gives you an idea when you click the video. That gives you an idea of like kind of the feel that we're going for.
It's really well made.
Yeah. And then we describe the campaign. I give a little statement. There's like a synopsis. There's some comps. It's Hereditary, La Llorona, The Craft, and The Evil Dead. The music. And then I describe what a lechuza is, because I don't know, people don't know that. And then the mask, which I think is a big get. So I made him really big. We put together a lot of crew. We needed like four actors. We have two producers, and we put together like a good amount of crew, at least the crew that I think we needed like right off the bat. So we got some special effects makeup, the creature design, a sound designer, a cinematographer, and the cinematographer comes with his own people.
And this is to go ahead and make a feature, a full feature?
Oh, this is for a proof of concept short. So we're making a proof of concept, like it's like 10 minutes, and we're using it to try to sell to investors.
Oh, okay.
Because to make this more, especially like the way we really wanted to make it, we need more money that I don't think we can get from Kickstarter. And so I want to take this and take it to like film festivals, but also take it to like investors and angel investors and be like, this is what we made for this amount of money. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine what we can make with more. And then and then once we have that, try to sell that.
Do you want to go ahead and give a shout out to your team that's actually helping with this at the moment?
Yeah. We have producer Valerie Frederick and Sam Jimenez. They would have loved to be on the podcast, but it's too early for them. So.
Sorry.
No. I was like, do you guys want to do this? And they're like, we'll do the one that's later. The crew is Roy Kirk, a cinematographer, and sound designer is Camille Gregg. PA is Carlos Garcia. That's my cousin. I was like, do you want to do this? And he's like, yeah, I just don't want to like have much. I don't want to like have to think about it much. I was like, but I'll help you. I was like, okay. The crew for script supervisor is Gracie Vargas. Creature design, I already put. I told you guys about Eric Zapata. And makeup and special effects is Tatiana Kazak, I think that's how you say her name. She's great. We met with her. She's a professional makeup designer, and she loves special effects. So we have this like Evil Dead type of possession in the movie, and she was like game for that. So I wanted to like have as much makeup artist specifically like for the natural looks for the women. For the sisters, because it revolves around a group of sisters, but I wanted someone to just focus on that Evil Dead thing, because I didn't want her to have to focus on the creature. That's like that's mm-hmm. too much for somebody. And if you keep scrolling down, we have our location already ready, and it is magical.
It looks cool.
It is. It's this like really, really amazingly structural house, and it's not just like white walls. That's what that was my big thing. Like, I don't want it to look like an apartment complex. Like, I want it to, mm-hmm. like, look old. Yeah. And it looks great. And this woman, she wanted to put together a film studio. So she just buys, like properties and, like, makes them into, like, cool little houses for, like, film. Mm-hmm. And she, like, goes around to, different, like, sales and stuff. She buys weird stuff to put in the house. So there's some dolls in the house. And there's, like... really, really cool statues and stuff in the house. I don't know. I love it. But that's kind of it. It's a proof of concept short film revolving around La Lechuza, a vengeful witch of Latin American folklore, and it is it's about the night after the night before a funeral for a mother, and four sisters come together, and one of them has a idea to try to bring the mother back using brujeria, and it doesn't go very well because La Lechuza goes for punishment.
Mm-hmm. Are you gonna have the scream of the Lechuza?
I have been listening to a bunch of different versions of like what I can get. I actually went on YouTube and I tried to like listen to people's recordings so I can, because I know what it sounds like, but I needed to like hear it more. And I got to like two videos and I was like, I can't do this.
I was going to say the same thing. I wanted to do the same things before for today. I'm like, no, I don't think I can.
So
evil on you.
I would never use like a recording if somebody says this is a issue. So I would like ask somebody to do it. I'll probably like figure that out. I figure out a way to like mix animal sounds, I guess. I know that it's like a deeper version of like an owl crying at like a zoo, because I've heard an owl crying and I'm like mm-hmm. I'm like that kind of sounds like it, but I don't know, it's It's difficult when you're actually afraid of the thing. I've never like made something in it where I'm actually like afraid of the thing. So I think it's good, right?
No, yeah. The thing that I know about Lechusa is, one, it's a witch during the day. Mm-hmm. It disguises itself as an owl during the night. And if you're like actually looking for it, it probably tries to disguise its voice as a crying baby or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course it will whistle or screech outside your window.
Yeah. And like, it's like a, what is it? It's about like the main takeaway of the folklore is punishment. The main takeaway of the folklore mm-hmm. is like some adults use it like, oh, hey, if you're a bad person, Lechusa will come and get you. And what it's really about it, it's sort of like this witch that tried to like go outside of her, or I guess you could say bruja, but because like people think that bruja is Spanish for witch, but it's not. It's like two different things. But it's like this bruja that like went outside of her like coven a little bit, and she was punished for that, and they killed her.
I didn't know that part.
And then so like she sort of like cursed the ground, and like the ground is where like owls had made their nest or something, and so she just kind of fused with it, and like that's she kind of just travels through and punishing. It's usually children, but punishing children and punishing like brujas. It's also like this weird thing of like, don't dabble. It's like, it's a little satanic panicky. It's a little like using like dark magic to tell people not to do dark magic. It's a little like that.
Like a warning.
Yeah. It's the main point is like, don't fuck around. And I wanted to take that and use it like literally. And there's this whole thing of one of the themes of the short of the feature in the short is what is keeping your family from being like as close as it can be. And it's usually like your things that hold you back. And so a lot of the short and a lot of the feature is about like taking things that bother you as a person about yourself and seeing them physically represented.
My biggest question is, what are you going to do when you're filming and Lechusa comes?
Oh God.
because I mean, I feel like this is, I mean, like literally as you're describing and talking about the history and the mythos that surrounds what you're creating. I mean, it feels like you are opening up some stuff. And I mean, that would be my biggest fear is you got this really great mask that has been created, but it's got to come from something, and it looks too real, man. I mean, you're doing all these like ritualistic things, and you're pulling up this darkness, and it's like you open that door, you cannot put it back in, Lechusa.
Yeah. Well, in all honesty, I did think about that. In all honesty, I have thought about those that like just because like I don't one of the things I will never touch is demonic possession. It just scares me too much. I don't like it. But for something like this, I was like, I really want to do like little protection things. I want to give people little amulets. I want to give people like a jar, like a little protection spell jar. And like they don't have to have it, but I want to provide it for people, and I want that to be a part of the production. Mm. I want like brujeria and like sort of that like really nice, because I know a lot of people who do it, and I've seen a lot of people who do it, and I've read a lot of these books written by people who do it, and it's like it's not a bad practice. It's more, and so I wanted to sort of ingrain that into the production a little bit more. I wanted to actually have an altar there, and I wanted to like sort of like put a little like red ribbon on the entrances. Like I wanted to sort of like ingrain that protection in it.
You're going to do the things.
And hopefully that'll be good.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking to myself, like if you're going into it, you gotta do some of the protective things because.
Yeah. And like, I've always said, like, if you believe in the good things, if you really believe in like the positive forces in the world, you have to believe in the other side. Mm-hmm. You can't just ignore them. And so it's sort of like this sort of balance of it. And and what one of our actresses is a practicing Wicca.
Okay.
And so I was going to ask her for protection too.
Okay, good. See that? You got your bases covered. That's all. I just needed to, you know, I was just wondering, just as a, you know, precaution, because, like, you know, I just, all of a sudden we get this, like, an update, and it's like, oh, the production has been halted.
Oh, well, one of the...
Miguel's disappeared.
One of the stretch goals is going to be, like, I will live stream the production in case anyone wants to see if anything goes wrong.
Oh, there you go. Well, if that's the case, if something does go wrong, you can just we'll get the footage together and we can make it a film footage.
Oh my gosh.
Film footage. Oh my
god. That sounds crazy.
We'll keep it going for you.
Oh god.
That's awesome. I think the Lechuza is up there in the top three of the folk Mexican Latin American folklore. With La Llorona and El Cucuy.
Yeah. So I wanted to make a chupacabra thing too eventually. I just never knew how to do it.
The chupacabra is the one thing, one of the cryptids that I still believe in.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in the whole 90s version of the chupacabra. I believe in the dog version of it, the one that they've always shown.
Oh yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, with the it's like some security camera footage of like, what is this? And it's like, yeah, a dog thing. Yeah, it's interesting because I've never understood. Like, I understand what the theme of Lechuza is. I understand what the theme of La Llorona is, and like, I've always wanted to like do a La Llorona thing. But mostly, I want to produce it being done by a woman. I think that would be amazing because it's very much like this like female pain thing. But I've never really grasped what the chupacabra is trying to say. Like, I've never figured it out.
I think is something that got out of hand, and it's its own little thing out there.
Yeah, it's just sort of this like weird rampaging nature thing. And that, did you guys see the movie? Oh, there's like a Wendigo movie produced by Guillermo del Toro. Oh no. No. What is it? There's a movie about a Wendigo. It came out like last year. Antlers.
No. Oh, you know, actually, I think I did hear about that.
So Del Toro produced this movie called Antlers, and I watched it, and the whole time I'm like, this is great. It could use a little more brown in it, but this is great. But I'm watching, I'm like, oh, this is what like a chupacabra movie would feel like. It would feel like this city that's being plagued by this thing, and they don't know what it is. And like, they're losing, like, it wouldn't take place modern time. It'd be like... a few decades previous, like ago, and it would be this town that relies on this farm, on these farmlands, and the farmlands are being attacked, and they don't know what it's for. Like, they don't know what's going on, and it's like they're losing cattle, they're losing goats, they're losing like chickens, and like they're slowly like starving and being cut off from like the rest of the other little towns, and it's just like this one creature that's doing it.
And the fear of trying to leave the town to get to something else.
Yeah, it's about isolation. It's about isolation. That's the whole thing. Yeah, and like what that means. And I think that's where the fear comes from. It comes from like being part of these little settlements, the way Mexico used to be more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where it comes from. Well, I figured it out on the podcast. Let's do this.
Boom. There you go.
You talked about the whole thing of being afraid of dabbling with these things, right?
Yeah.
And in all seriousness, I think a lot of the stories that we may have grown up with is to warn us or to keep us from doing stuff, especially with, I honestly think that the Mexican Latin American culture really wants us to stay away from certain practices and all that. And I think the Lechuza helps scare us enough to keep it away. It's like the Llorona, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know plenty of people who believe in the Llorona. I feel like I've actually heard a scream or a cry now when I was in Mexico that the next morning my uncle came in and goes that he couldn't sleep because he kept hearing the Llorona outside. And it's usually, you know, it's around the river, right? It's to keep kids from going the river, especially at night and by themselves, trying to scare them away from drowning. Lechuza, maybe more keep you from dabbling in brujería or in magic, mm-hmm. right? So I think a lot of the folklore that we get is meant to keep us from dabbling in these little things or getting to know more of that stuff just to keep us in line, I guess.
And like that's just mean.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. This is exciting stuff.
Thank you. Hopefully we get funded and we can do this. I really want to, because like we wanted to build this up to like be an actual production, and we wanted to pay everyone, mm-hmm. and we wanted to like get this really cool location, and we just kind of went for it. So hopefully it pays off.
Is there anything that we're missing that we haven't talked about that you wanted to make sure that we bring up?
Yeah, just there's this really interesting part of it where one of the sisters is disabled, and I originally wrote that because because one, we don't have many disabled representation in horror movies, mm-hmm. But also because my mom was disabled for most of my life, and she always had this like fear of like not really being in control of her life. Like she understood that, and we used to have conversations about that sometimes, about how like it's weird how she feels like she wasn't in control of her life, and she needs to be pushed somewhere, like pushed places and assisted places, because mm-hmm. it's like a literal thing. It's like a tangible thing that you can look at and say, I'm not in control right now. That's mm-hmm. weird. So like you need to sort of like try to overcompensate it. And so I wanted to like have a character that like represents that of like feeling like they're not in control, having everyone else try to be in control, and then slowly try to gain control of the situation, but as a metaphor for getting control of their life. And that's a little, awesome. That's kind of there in the short. It's like there enough in the short. It's really there in the feature, because it's a long kind of idea mm-hmm. to get across. But also there's like there's scenes in it that I wanted to do. And as much as like my intentions are good, I didn't want to like step on people's shoes. And I know how like directors can be, where like sometimes people don't want to say no. And sometimes people just kind of, there's like a bunch of yes people all around you. So I got a producer that is also disabled, that they're both wheelchair users, the actress and the producer. And I specifically got a producer that isn't afraid to call me out on my shit. And so I specifically, cool. I hope she hears this. I specifically got a producer that's going to, that would be like, no, that's stupid. So that's cool. So I got a producer that isn't like afraid to say that and really sort of like steer this in the right direction, like when it comes to that. And she found this actress, and we talked to the actress, and so there's that whole part of it, and there's that whole part of sort of the genre, like accepting like disabled people in the genre more so than later. So we're going to, I don't think that's like really made a big deal even the Kickstarter, but yeah, like that's something that I'm really excited about. And when we went to the location, we had to like measure doorways and stuff, because oh, wow. we needed to figure out if the wheelchair can get there, and we needed to figure out what entrance we have to use for the wheelchair mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
No, that's awesome that you're doing that. Not just to write a story like, oh, this person is disabled. No, but being conscious of the need of a little bit more of a
the need of
diversifying.
Got it. Yeah.
Finally got it out. You know, of not only I guess in horror, but in general.
Yeah, and talking to our producer, it's been a really eye-opening thing of people don't hire actors in wheelchairs, because a lot of sets aren't really, they can't really travel through set. And it's like, well, why? Because mm-hmm. sets aren't made to accommodate wheelchairs. And it's like, well, there it is. That's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that. It's like little things like that. It's like, well, and I'm also, I have epilepsy. And so I know it's going to be difficult to get a steady job in like on a set. Just because of that, not even like I've controlled epilepsy. It's not a big deal for me right now. So like, but just like saying it, it kind of throws people off a little bit. And so there's like little stuff like that.
I can't wait to hear that this was funded, and I can actually hopefully see the finished product one of these days.
Thank you so much.
There is a couple of movies that I saw that were said to be based on Lichtenstein. One of them, I'm not too sure if it is or not. Called the Cry of the Owl. Julia Stiles is in it, but I can't see anything where it says that it actually talks about Lichtenstein. So I'm not sure if they just might have.
The Cry of the Owl. I just looked it up. I love Julia Stiles. I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can bring you back on one of these days, and if it truly is Lichtenstein, we'll have you back on to review it.
Nice. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I was actually just looking to see if there is any movies, but there was one called Cry of the Lichtenstein or something like that, which was actually made here in San Antonio. It's a Curse of the Lichtenstein.
Nice.
So, yeah, so there's at least two or three movies out there that have to do with it. Don't know. I've never seen them. I'm actually just found them looking up information for this particular episode.
Cry of the Owl has an 11% Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go.
There's another movie in 2014 called The Owl. The only thing is I don't see where this would even be available to watch. Probably maybe looking it up on YouTube maybe. And this is the trials of four young people who are psychologically tormented by a supernatural entity that takes the form of an owl.
Yo. Okay. And I like that.
Here, there's one more. Took me to a whole different thing. The link, it says Deliria, and I click on it and it takes me to a whole thing called Stage Fright. So
Stage Fright, it's a slasher, it's an Italian slasher, and the killer uses the mask of an owl from their play.
Oh, okay.
It's good. It's colorful, it's fun, it's really good.
Okay, cool.
I got into like Italian horror for like a time there in the pandemic. I watched almost everything.
Did you watch the remake of Suspiria?
I haven't seen the remake of Suspiria. I want to because I love everyone in it.
Nice. I haven't seen it either, so it's another one we need to get to. That one's actually available on AMC Plus.
Yeah.
This is weird because it says Stage Fright, original title, Deliria. Mm-hmm. But then the poster says Aquarius.
Yes. Isn't that weird?
That is really weird.
Because Aquarius, I think, is the American name of it. But the original,
I always find it interesting how
it's weird.
The movies change names from place to place.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about as far as is there anything right now that you're watching or reading horror wise?
No, I try not to have like all my eggs in one basket. So, I'm actually writing a horror movie. It takes place on a flight, and it's like real time. So the flight is like an hour and a half, and so the movie starts when they board the flight and ends when they leave. So it's self-contained. So I'm watching a lot of self-contained, like Red Eye. There's also a movie from the 50s called like Horror Train. So I'm watching like movies kind of like that.
My favorite airplane, I would say segment, I guess, is got to be the Twilight Zone.
Yes, I saw that. I saw there's one about vampires called like Blood something. It's like on Netflix. That was okay. but yeah, I'm watching that. And I'm also writing a Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein road trip movie.
Their honeymoon. There you go.
So I read Frankenstein again, and I read you know who Junji Ito is? Junji Ito.
No,
He's a really famous manga horror person. It's like that's the only manga I've ever really read is the Junji Ito's like mangas. It's like short. I read him, and he has a bunch of short stories that are like horror, and he's like really specific in the way he draws. It's like really gruesome and like. The facial expressions are really crazy.
Oh, I might have heard of him.
He did Frankenstein. He just drew Frankenstein, and he did that as like a manga comic. And one of my cousin gave it to me for my birthday or Christmas, and I finally read it, and it's insane. And so I'm trying to read it's like a bunch of Junji Ito to get like a more of an idea of like how to frame scary things. It's weird. If you want to read Junji Ito, go for it. And listeners, if you want to read Junji Ito, go for it. Just know that some things are never going to leave your brain. Some images will never leave your brain as much as
you try. I've seen some images right now. I looked it up.
It's he's insane. And he's a nice guy.
Holy apparently. Moly. Yeah. Oh, this is awesome.
It's nuts. Cool. I never see any of those things at cons either. If I see like a Junji Ito poster at a con, I'll buy it.
Okay, I gotta close this because I'm getting lost in the images. This is really cool.
They're so good. If you can, I think some of them are available like on like Kindle Unlimited or something. Or like if you can find like just like one collection of shorts, read it and see if you like it.
I would recommend people go and take a look at it. Not if you have, what is it called, trypophobia.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, don't watch it. Because I just saw that and I'm like, yeah, people with that are gonna freak out. There's some of these.
Wow. No, well, okay. one of my friends has that, and yeah, I was like, no, don't do that. We saw Candyman, the new Candyman. And she was like, the fuck is this?
So that's another one that I really enjoyed, and people didn't like that. I keep hearing people don't like, but I feel like it's really good.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, we actually had to talk about it one of these days here. We haven't been able to do so, but. We'll end up talking about that one too. Another, I think that's a mixture of urban legends that ended up turning into Candyman.
Yeah. That's a good example. Yeah, if you guys want to talk about different weird movies, you can just bring me in.
I love
talking about weird stuff. I watched Phantom of the Paradise. I hadn't seen it. It's really good.
What is it called?
Phantom of the Paradise.
I've never heard of that one.
Oh, it's so good. It's like a rock musical.
Oh, nice. I love,
but yeah, just different things, different like weird stuff.
Okay, well, I want to go ahead and thank you for first of all waking up early because I know it's early for you, and being here with us. Unfortunately, a little too early for everybody. I know, I get it.
No, no problem. Yeah, just anytime you have a spot open.
Anything? Any last? Oh, you know what? Before I do that, where can people follow you?
Sure, you can find me at Macabre Martinez on Twitter. And I think Instagram, it's the same thing. If you need our Kickstarter, the link is there, or just type in lechusafilm.com. That link will also change after the Kickstarter. If we get our funding, it'll go to like maybe like a website that I put together so you could follow production.
All right. Well, once again, Miguel, thank you very much for your time and letting us know about this great project. I want to go ahead and share it. And like I said, everybody, if you can't back it for whatever reason, share it with your friends. And ask them to share it. That's the best way to get this the word out there.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone. I don't want to beg, but I will.
Well, thank you very much. And for everybody, thank you for joining us here on Nerds in the Crypt. And we'll see you guys next time.
Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright. Thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.